preach this morning. I will say this, I'm going to send Randy's going with the offering plate. At the end of the service, we're going to take another offering up. If you want to donate to the Gideons, any amount of money, I mean, you don't have to say, well, I'm going to give a whole $5, which that'd be great because that'll buy a Bible. They use all the money, but we'll give you a chance to make, you know, help the Gideons out. We give them a love offering every time they're here. Another thing that we do at Valley View Baptist Church, when you're here in this church and a loved one passes away, we don't do flowers any longer. We used to send, you know, give flowers for the church. What we do is we send $25 to the Gideons in honor of your loved one. Mary's going to have, and they'll put 5 Bibles. They'll be placed, and I believe this is right. I don't think you commented on it, but those Bibles stay there forever. If they get torn up or destroyed, like if you put a Bible in a hotel room in memory of somebody, and somebody happened to steal that Bible, which is okay, or if it gets destroyed, they put that Bible back, and it's still going to be in memory of that loved one. So that's what we do as a church. It's a lot longer lasting than flowers, and you never know what that might do. So that's. So anytime if you have a loved one pass away, you don't see flowers from Valley View Baptist Church. Usually they send a card to you the way we write the thing out. You should get something in the mail. But the reason is because there's 5 Bibles going to be placed in the memory of your loved one through the Gideon. So we do that. So we're going to take a love offering up at the end. Remind me because I'm forgetful. I made a note, highlighted it with Randy's highlighter so that we'll get to that. But anyway, I want to preach to you. I didn't make a real long message, but I think it's, you know, going to get right to the point of some things. We're coming up close to Easter, and we're going to look at the Passover lamb this morning. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, and the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words today and for the words delivered to us from Charlie, and we thank you for that. Lord, now I pray that you speak to our hearts even farther, Lord, through your word this morning. And Lord, you know every need that we have that are here today. We're praying, Lord, for those that may be here, haven't trusted you as your Savior, their Savior, Lord, that you will save them today. They'll call on your name today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is "The Blood Made the Difference." And, of course, leading up to this, Israel had been in slavery because they had rejected God and turned to idol worship and things years before. They'd been in slavery now for hundreds and hundreds of years. Of course, they cried out to God, and God heard their cry, and he raised up a leader, Moses. We know Moses was the leader to lead them out, and God told him, just go to Pharaoh and tell him you're leading the people out, and he did. Of course, obviously, the Egyptians had been used to slave labor all this time, and at the very beginning, Pharaoh said, no, you know, I'm not going to let the people go. And so God sent plagues, several plagues to plague Egypt. There was insects and famine and drought and things and locusts and a lot of different things took place. And he started working on Pharaoh, and Pharaoh got to the point a few times where he said, "Listen, I'm going to let you go." And but then when they get right after the plague would cease, then he'd say, "Nope, I changed my mind. I'm not letting you go." And this kept going on for a while throughout the time. And there's a great illustration of that. But finally, Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. And we came to the text that we read now. God said, "Listen, everybody get prepared. There's going to be I'm going to send my angel." A lot of people believe that's the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ himself. I do. And he said that he's going to pass over the land, and the firstborn of all are going to die in the land. And after that, and all the events that took place, Pharaoh did let the people go. But of course, then they came out after him, and we had the Red Sea episode and all that when God took care of him. But there's a lot of things to look at in there, and I got a few main points that I want you to see about that. When we look at the slavery aspect of the Israelites being in slavery all that time. It was a hard life. I mean, they were, bare sustenance living, and they weren't, they weren't in their own land. They didn't have freedom that they would have had. They worked, from daylight till dark, and, every day wasn't days off, holidays. And they worked. Well, it all pictures sin. The whole thing about sin is a slave master. In other words, we are enslaved to sin. Those Israelites, they couldn't leave, and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And that's the same thing that sin does to us today. Listen, sin gets a hold of us. We're all born sinners. We're born that way because of Adam's sin. The curse of sin was placed on us. We're enslaved to that until you trust Jesus Christ. You're enslaved to sin. And you think about the plagues of life, everything that sin affects. It affects us physically. It affects us emotionally. It certainly, spiritually, we're already affected because we don't have a spiritual life as far as God's concerned. It has separated us from God. All the problems in the world are related to sin. Even the sin entered the world, the whole aging process that we go through. I got gray hair because of sin. I've got achy bones because of sin. My memory's not too sharp because of sin. That's why I told Randy, make sure you remind me to take the offering up because I'll forget by the time we get to the end. But it all has to do, and then death. Death itself is all because of sin. But in the midst of all that, God said, "Listen, I'm going to provide a way of escape." And on the night that death angel was going to come over Egypt, all the firstborn would die. He said, "But there's one way to avoid having this death angel affect your family." And if you have to appropriate that, in other words, by faith, when Moses told the people, "Look, this is what you got to do. You got to get a lamb without blemish, without spot." Got all the instructions there. You got to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel over top. And he said, when you do that, you had to believe that this is what God said. See, this is what you had to believe. And the people that did it, when the death angel passed, the firstborn of the family wasn't slain. And the ones that didn't do it, the firstborn of the family was slain. It's a picture of the end results of not trusting Jesus Christ, trusting God by faith. And so, and I'll talk about that in a little more detail. But that lamb selected, that was pictured, all this was pointing ahead to when Jesus Christ would come. Everything that was represented by this lamb was a picture of what Jesus Christ did when he came and how that is applied to our life. And so the first point we see, there was a lamb selected. It says in verse 5 and 6 of the text I read, Exodus chapter 12, it said that the lamb should be without blemish. I mean, it couldn't be anything wrong with it. On the outside, they could see. A male of the first year, take it out from the sheep or the goats. He had to keep it under the 14th day of the same month. Now, what that was, they had been in slavery because of their rejection of God. And now part of God's plan is this. See, what happens with God is sin has to be paid for. God's so holy, he can't overlook it. It has to be atoned for. And so what God said, "Listen, I'm going to provide the atonement. I'm going to provide somebody." What happens when Jesus died on that cross? That was our cross. That is our cross, that we should have died for our sins, but Jesus said, listen, I'm going to take your place. That's the bare bones, nuts and bolts of it all. I'm going to take your place so we don't have to die for our sins. When they said, listen, okay, listen, the Israelites were guilty. They had rejected God. I mean, they had worshiped false gods. They were guilty as sin, if we can use that term right there. There was no doubt about that. That's why they had been in slavery all this time. But they said, listen, we want to be delivered from that. And God said, I'm going to deliver you from it, from your sins, but there's going to be, something's going to have to take your place for that sin. And eventually, of course, leading to Jesus Christ years, thousands of years later, would be Jesus Christ. So they said, listen, we're going to get a land. I got a plan. I want you to get an innocent lamb. You know, there isn't nothing a whole lot more innocent looking spring of the year, right? You get them little lambs. You know, you got them little, huh? They're just white. If they're white ones, they got black ones. They're just innocent looking, man. I mean, you know, they're not going to bite you. They're not ferocious. They're just, oh, man, you just want to pick them up. Look at them little lambs. Get that innocent lamb, Jesus. Huh? See, Jesus didn't sin. Jesus came to pay for our sins, but he was innocent. And so it pictures the innocent there. And they had to get it without blemish, you know, without defect. And they had to keep it up. They watched it for 4 days because they could see on the outside if the lamb was okay. But God didn't want them to give a sick lamb. See, somebody wanted to be kind of slick, you know, say, well, I'll just get this old raggedy lamb going to die anyway, and I'll get it. God said, uh-uh. And I'll talk about that in a second. But he said, you got to watch it for 4 days and make sure it's okay. That even had a picture in God's plan 2,000 years over about later when Jesus came, because he was examined for 3.5 years to see if he had a fault. Matter of fact, there hadn't been a human being more scrutinized, probably trying to find a fault, than Jesus Christ. And when it was all said and done, when he was standing up there after he'd been scourged and he stood before Pilate and the crowds yelling, crucifying, crucifying, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Huh? The Pharisees, those old Pharisees, man, they tried to trap him. They did some little slick things, asked him some questions, tried to trap him. He was smarter than them all. He knew what they were doing, and they couldn't trap him. The Sadducees, they tried to trick him into doing something else. They couldn't find a fault with Jesus Christ. That was what that time period was. They had to have a lamb because it had to picture Jesus Christ that would come, and they knew nothing about it. They didn't know anything about it. They didn't really know about Jesus coming on the scene like he did. So we see that young, that innocent lamb. And on the 14th day of the month, they had to take the lamb outside and they had to kill the lamb. You know how they killed the lambs? They cut their throats. Man, now you can imagine, man, I mean, you know, I go hunting and things and, you know, I see a deer. People say, well, I don't know how you do it. How do you shoot them deer? You just put the gun up there, aim at it, pull the trigger, boom, you know. And I'm hoping that it's dead when I get over there. I don't want to see it over there bawling for its mama after I done shot it. I want it dead, right? But you got to take this lamb. And they got to take that little, and you know, they're trusting. They'll come right up to you. And they're innocent. And they don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's just bad like sheep probably do. Everything looks good. These people, you know, the shepherds love their sheep. Man, I mean, they, you know, they were with them and they reacted. And that little old lamb probably comes in there just as trusting as it can be. And then they had to take that lamb, that innocent lamb, no resistance. And they had to cut its throat. Now, see, Jesus, he knew. He knew what he was coming for. It said that he was led as a lamb dumb, which meant without knowledge and couldn't speak, didn't speak out, to the slaughter. He was led. But he knew. He didn't resist, and he could have called down a whole host of angels. He could have done a multitude of things to stop the crucifixion, but he knew what he was dying for. That's why the lamb had to picture him in that way, a substitute for the people. Listen, the lamb hadn't done anything wrong in that day. It was the people that had committed the sin. And there's personal involvement here. And I, you know, using my imagination somewhat, but this is probably how it went. The family was involved, and they bring the lamb, and somebody would hold the lamb, and somebody would cut the lamb's throat, and somebody had a basin. They had to catch the blood there. They'd kind of hold his neck off to the side, and the blood would go into the basin because they had to put the blood on the lintel and the doorpost, and they had to catch it. Not a very pretty picture. Huh? It's not a very pretty picture, but it's you know, the ugliness of sin. You know, this sin's not a very pretty picture either. And that price had to get, the price had to get be paid. But I want you to see that the whole family was involved in that. I read a book one time. John MacArthur wrote a book called Who Murdered Jesus? You know who murdered Jesus? We did. The whole family had to be involved in this. You had to feel that pain and that suffering and you know, see what took place. You had to be involved because you were involved. We're involved in the death of Jesus Christ. But then we see the main thing. We see that this blood applied. They had to take the blood in the basin. They'd take hyssop, just a brushy little plant, stick it down in there. And they put blood on the side post of the door of the house, and they put blood over the lintel. And it pictures the crucifixion of Christ in the right side and the left side. His hands were pierced. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He had nails through his feet. No doubt the blood here dripped down there. And it all pictures the death of Christ as he bled and died. But it had to, what I like, I want you to see this, that it had to be placed on the door. Where you go in or you go out. When that death angel came, everybody that was inside that house was safe. And everybody on the outside, their family was going to be affected by a death, which is a result of sin that particular night. You know, Jesus said this in John 10:7, he said, I am the door of the sheep. In John 10:9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's the door. This is it. There's a lot of things. Listen, and there's a lot of people think that there's a lot of different ways to get to heaven. Uh-uh. The lamb had to be slain, Jesus Christ, and that his blood has to be applied to your life. That's it. That's it. There's no good works. There's not enough money. You're not going to pay. There's not enough good works. There's not, you know, some other God. There's not some other person or that you're going to worship. It's Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know it's him? Because there's the only one that's a resurrected Savior. Listen, man, the world's got Buddha, man, but you go to the tomb of Buddha, he's got bones in it. Huh? They got Muhammad, you got bones. You go to anybody else you want to put up there, Hare Krishna, whoever they are, it's bones. When you go to the tomb of Jesus Christ, it's an empty tomb, right? That's the only way. I heard an illustration, I've used this before, I'll share it with those of you that weren't here, but it's like a lady she runs into a pastor down at the post office. And she said, you know, Pastor, I think getting to heaven is kind of like getting down here to the post office. Said, you know, like you came down like maybe Route 43 or down Route 11 right here and you got to the post office. And maybe I came down Route 11 and I got to the post office. And somebody else came down, you know, some other road, you know, 17th Street. And they got to the post office. We all can get to the post office a different way. And she said, that's the problem. That's the way I think it is getting to heaven. And the pastor looked at her and said, well, that's great. We only got one problem. When we die, we're not going to the post office. We're going to heaven. You know, he said, you like that, don't you, Texan? Postal workers, man, watch out. There's only one way. It's just Jesus. It's real simple. It's just real simple. It couldn't get any simpler than this. You may not like slaying the lamb, but I wouldn't want to wake up in the morning and find my firstborn dead. And I said, you know what? I'm either going to trust God or I'm not. You know, I'm going to be saved or I'm not. And it's only through Jesus Christ. He's the door. And I like this point right here too. They put it on the outside of the door. That meant everybody else could see it. When they go along, listen, man, I got saved. I'm not ashamed of being saved. Huh? I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I don't got to lay my Bible underneath three blankets in the back of the car so nobody will see it when they look in there. Matter of fact, if the cops look in there, I'm hoping that they see it. Maybe they'll cut me some slack. Amen. If I get picked up for driving too fast. I mean, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be a witness for Christ. Listen, he loved me. He died for me. You know, he saved me. I'm not ashamed of that. I got the blood on the outside so they can see. And I mean by this is, listen, by my life. You know, I don't need a bumper sticker on the back of my car telling everybody that my boss is a Jewish carpenter, God's my co-pilot, which he should be the pilot, not the co-pilot, or any of those other things. Just live your life so that people see Christ in us. So the blood was applied and it was put on the outside of the door. And it was all this, listen, it was all an act of faith. You had to believe God to get the lamb. You had to believe God to make sure the lamb didn't have any blemish. You had to believe God to roast the lamb with fire and all the steps along the way. And you had to believe God to put that blood on that lintel right there. You had to trust God. It was an act of faith. That's, we're saved by grace through faith. Grace, the unmerited favor of God, you know, and we have, we don't deserve it, right? They were still the people in the house were still the ones that had rejected God and worshiped false idols and caused God a lot of heartache and sent them into slavery. It was still the same people, but the only way out of it was apply that blood. Got to put that blood right there. Now, I like this right here. This is the gist of the whole thing. If you don't learn anything else, pay close attention here. This is the part I've been dying all day to get to. That death angel there has said this. Do all those things up there. And then he says in verse 12, I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. He says, and when I see the blood. See, the reason it's worded that way, that's why I believe that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ that passed through the Lamb, because he said, when I, and Jesus is God, when I see the blood, he said, I'm going to pass over you. Now, they had them other instructions in there. Just get this right here. Stick with me. They had them other instructions right there, and it says, you know, you got to get a lamb without blemish and without spot. All right, we got that. And then you had to, after you killed the lamb and got it all ready, you roasted it with fire. He didn't want, see, there was no bones of Jesus broken on the cross. The scripture's clear about that. They didn't break his bones. Usually a person on the cross, when they were dying of a crucifixion, you would suffocate to death because you couldn't hold yourself up on the cross. So what they would do when they had their legs right here, and their legs would kind of be sticking out a little bit with them on the cross, an old Roman soldier would come up with an iron rod, and they would just whack you right in the shins a couple times as hard as they could and break your legs so that you could not push, because to breathe, you had to push yourself up, and you're hanging on that with your rib cage stretched out. You couldn't breathe. And so what they would do, they would break your bones. You couldn't push yourself up. So how you died, you suffocated to death. But when he came to Jesus, he gave up the ghost voluntarily, the Bible tells us. We'll get all this on Easter, right? He gave up the ghost voluntarily, and it said that not a bone with his was broken. And that's why they said, listen, you can't roast this lamb in a pot, because to get it in the pot, you're going to have to break his bones all up to get him in there. I want him roasted with fire, whole. Picture Jesus Christ. Fire pictures the judgment of God, always in the Bible. It pictures purity, but it pictures judgment of God. No bones. And then you had to eat it all. You had to eat that lamb. And if there was anything left over, you burned the rest of it up with fire. And there's a picture of that as well. And there's another thing. Right after this, and I didn't read this far, God told Moses to tell the people, he said, you're going to, every year after this, for a memorial of this event, you're going to have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but it's the Passover feast. It's probably the same thing. Some people think it's the same thing. And there were some steps in that involved. And it told in these instructions, they would eat unleavened bread. Now, you ladies know what leaven is, and most people don't make bread anymore, but if your grandmother did, or you remember, it leaven is the yeast, and it makes bread rise. If you ever ate bread without leaven in it, it's flat as a mackerel, hard as all get out, don't taste all that hot either, which pictures the cross wasn't a good thing to go through. But they said, you're going to eat it with unleavened bread. Now, leaven in the Bible always pictures sin. Because leaven, you know, ladies, if you don't put the bread in the oven, what happens? That old dough ball just corrupts up to the thing, blows up, and it's all over the kitchen, right? And so the oven, the heat, stops the leaven process. But it pictures sin, because it's corrupting the dough is what it does to a certain point. It pictures sin. It corrupts. And so in that feast, they said, listen, what you got to do, when they told him, you had to make sure no leaven was in the house. You had to get it all out when they did this feast. Picture this thing right here. And they had to get it out there too. Picture sin. Now, I thought about this. Coming up on the Passover feast later. And it was time. And you say, okay, we got to get all the leaven in the house. Now, probably the ladies did most of the cooking and they knew. What do you bet that the ladies had to run all around the house and they weren't sure where leaven might be in the house? Or do you think they pretty much had an idea where the leaven was? They pretty much. Probably one cupboard. Make sure it wasn't spilled out and everything. And it pictures this sin in your life. It pictures all of this, the eating of the lamb, all of that pictures repentance. But I think this. You know, I mean, we're sinners. That's our biggest problem. And we're not. But when it comes to repentance, there's individual sins that we repent of. Pastor Frank, that used to be here before me, had this one saying. He said, you know, if you come to the altar and you pray to God and you're not sure about your sin, he said, just take a guess. You'll get it right every time. Take a guess. I believe that those ladies could go right to the right very cupboard where the leaven was and get that leaven out of there. And I believe with us, when it comes to repentance, we know what sin's in our life. We're not guessing about it. We know we can go right to the sin and say, this is what I got to get out of my life. That's what that picture. So they were instructed that they had to do that. You understand that? And I believe, listen, that they all did that. But I believe this, that everybody that had enough faith to pick the lamb, slay the lamb, apply the blood, get the leaven out, and put that blood on the doorpost, I believe the people that had enough faith to put the blood also had enough faith to do the other steps. But what I want you to see is this. I think this is neat. It said when the angel came, he says this. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say, I got to go in there and make sure you had a lamb without a blemish and a spot. I got to make sure that you roasted that lamb with fire and didn't put him in the pot. I got to make sure that you got all the leaven out of the house. I got to make sure that you did all the other steps just right, which would be works, and we're saved by grace and not works. He said, all I got to see is the blood. It don't matter what's inside that house right there. It don't matter if you messed up the instructions with the lamb, because if we went on our memory, we'd probably mess it up anyway. It don't matter if you messed up them instructions with the lamb, and I want to tell you something, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. What about them people in the house, preacher? What about if they had some stuff? It didn't say any. He didn't say he looked at them people in the house. It just, remember, they was already sinners, right? They had already rejected God and worshiped other gods. And listen, it didn't matter. You know, you could have been an old sinner and you said, you know what? I'm going to put faith in God. I'm going to kill a lamb and I'm going to put the blood on the door. When that angel came in there and looked in the house, all he said was, I see the blood. That's it. I'm passing over. Everybody was saved. It didn't matter. He didn't look in there and see if you was carrying an old grudge in your heart as big as the size of a barn. He didn't look in there and see if you had unforgiveness in your heart. He didn't look in there and see if you didn't have no love in your heart. He didn't look in there and see if, you know, you had some hate and discontent, or you had some kind of vice in your life that you was having a trouble shaking off. He didn't look in there for all that. All he did was look and said, I see the blood right there. Amen. Listen, man, it don't matter. A lot of people try to figure it all out. Well, you know what? All it is faith. It don't matter about all. Well, what's God going to do about all them other things? Just let God take care of it. Huh? All you got to have, it don't matter if you failed in the past. Well, there's somebody in there that failed. Well, you know what? It don't matter that there's blood applied. We're going to go in there and kill somebody because that guy in there isn't right. That's not what it said. It just said that the blood was applied. Huh? That's it. Listen, man, when I got saved, I had baggage. I had stuff to do. What's God going to do with all that stuff that's going on in my life? And I could give you a whole list of them here, but I ain't here to preach about me. I'm here to preach about Jesus Christ. But you know what? Whatever it is you got going on in your life, I probably did it 10 times more. Huh? Whatever. Listen, I grew up in the 70s. Get me? Huh? Yeah, I see it too. Right? Yeah. I grew up. Listen, man, I've been into all that. But you know what? Guy said, listen, man, if you haven't asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, you're lost. You're on your way to hell. Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin? That's what the Bible says. Okay, man, I need to do it. And so I went down there and asked Jesus to save me. What's he going to do about all that other stuff in your life? That's his problem, not mine. Huh? I'm just going to apply the blood. Amen. I believe in people that applied the blood. They wanted to do the right thing. But do you think everybody got every single step right along the way? Huh? Somebody might have left one of them old lamb chops in the refrigerator, man, after it was over with. Didn't burn it with fire like they were supposed to. It didn't matter. He just said, I want to see the blood. God, listen here. This will wrap it all up for you. And one little thing. That angel came, he wasn't looking for sin. He was looking for the blood. That's it. He ain't looking for perfection. He's looking for faith. That's it. Don't look at your life and say, well, I'm too bad. I've made too many mistakes. I've got saved before. I've made profession before, but I don't know. And I'm afraid, or I'm worried I'm going to fail. Just put the blood on. Huh? By trust in Jesus Christ, apply the blood. That's it. That's it. And I want you to see this last couple things. That lamb was eaten. And it was eaten in the center of the house. Listen. Our faith, when we really apply it, and when you take Jesus Christ into our life, listen, you know, we're not going to be perfect. We're not know everything. We read the Word of God. We understand that. We grow. We learn. We make mistakes. We just keep moving on, but the blood's applied. You know, about old blood stain, you can't get it out. You can't get that blood stain out. And he sees the blood. Listen, this is it. But it was eaten in the center of the house. And I want you to see the importance of our worship of Jesus Christ is not just here today. It's day by day, man. We're putting our faith in Jesus. It's centered in the home. And our home, if we want to look at it from our heart, or we could look at it from a Christian, having a Christian home, we should be worshiping God just as much or more at home than we are at church. This is just an out. What ought to be happening here at church should be the overflow of what has happened all week at home. When we get, the overflow of that, man. I'm about to bust by the time I get to church, man. I've been reading my devotions all week. I've been in the Word of God. I done got this message together on Thursday. I couldn't wait since then. I said, man, this is good, man. Charlie said, can I have more than 15 minutes? I said, No, you ain't getting more than 15 minutes. No, sir. I got something to say. The blood, man. The blood of Christ, it's applied. Are you perfect? Nah, I missed it by that much. Missed it by that much? Thank God I don't have to be perfect. God's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for the blood. That's it. Everybody, man, by faith can have the blood applied. Let me ask you this. Has the blood been applied in your life? Have you called out by faith for Jesus Christ to save you? Don't worry about the other problems. You can't get away from your sin anyway. Pharaoh wasn't going to let him go. But old sin came running after him, didn't he? Pharaoh came out there after he finally did let him go. And here he comes. Pharaoh's coming out there after him again. He changed his mind. That's what happens. You get saved. Guess what? Old sin's going to come on behind you. Guess what happened? But God said, all right, no problem. Part the Red Sea. Go on through. Here comes old sin, Pharaoh, and the rest. They get in the middle. Flooded them out. Flooded them out, man. Washed them out. Listen, God will take care of it. Because they got worried. They got panicked. Your faith got real weak when they saw the Egyptian army coming. God said, I'll take care of it. The blood, man. I'm a child. It don't matter if the devil comes up. Devil come up and say, look at old Daniel Boone. You're going to believe what he's been thinking. You ain't going to believe what he's been saying. You ain't going to believe what he didn't do. You ain't going to believe what he did do. And Jesus is going to look out there and say, I see the blood. He's mine. Got him. He's mine. I got him. That's it. Don't worry about the baggage. Don't worry about it. You don't think them people inside them houses, they had problems. They had problems. I'll guarantee you, man, no problem's different than what we got. All he said is, I want to see the blood. And listen, man, you can be dirt. What's keeping you from being saved today? Oh, my problems. God's bigger than your problems. My sin. God's bigger than your sin. Whatever it is, listen, God is bigger than whatever's problem. All it is you got to know this, is that you want to be saved? You want the blood applied to your life? All you got to do is ask for it. Jesus said, I'll have it. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart this morning, we have an invitation. You want to be saved.